Good morning. It's June 7th, Trinity Sunday in the calendar of the church, and I welcome you to First Presbyterian Church of Westerville as we live stream this service this morning. Today we have Lynn Meyer to provide us with music on the organ and Earl Linhart here to sing the hymn for us. Heather Hicks is here to serve as liturgist and also to deliver the Especially for Children, which will happen a couple minutes after we finish the service this morning. And we do this so that families can go back and find her children's messages separate from the service, a little easier for them to find them and revisit them with their kids. The flowers today are given by John and Sharon Davis in celebration of their 56th wedding anniversary. Announcements for this week include the shelter-in-place Bible studies. They will continue again this week. We will have sections on Tuesday morning, Wednesday evening, and Thursday afternoon, and you're welcome to come in and join us. Just let me know. These are all done by Zoom video conferencing. Both the session and the Board of Deacons will hold meetings this week. This will be the first meetings for our newly elected elders, Rob Rankin, Vicki Moon, and John McElhaney, and for our newly elected deacons, Glenna Cameron, Ann Bates, and Sue Zust. And I thank all of them for answering the call to serve Christ as leaders in the church. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Be called to worship. Called to be faithful stewards of creation, we come to worship the one who has created all that is good and beautiful and true, and who has shared everything with us. Called to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we come to follow the one who meets us in every moment of our lives and in every place we find ourselves. Called to proclaim the good news of the Easter story, we come to be taught by the Spirit who comes in and through us as we serve the world. Called to worship, let us worship the triune God. Let us pray. We do stand in awe before you, O God. We rejoice that you have chosen us to be your own. By your word, the heavens were made. Your loving kindness fills the whole earth. By the bounty of your mercy, we have been born to new life. Hear now what fanfare we give you as our voices are lifted in praise of your name. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open and all desires known, we come before you today with praise and thanksgiving for the gift of life and faith. Only in you do we find meaning for life. Speak to our hearts as we wait before you, and let your Spirit renew us that we might serve you acceptably. Through Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
hear now from the scripture lessons for this morning, starting with Numbers, the 13th chapter. We will hear excerpts from Numbers 13, including now verse 1. Let us listen for God's word. The Lord said to Moses, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites." Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up there into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is like and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land they live in is good or bad, and whether the towns that they live in are unwalled or fortified, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be bold and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now it was the season of the first ripe grapes. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the Israelites in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Yet the people who live in the land are strong, and the towns are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against his people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought out the Israelites an unfavorable report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land that we have gone through as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great size. There we saw the Nephilim." The Anakites come from the Nephilim. "And to ourselves we seemed like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Here ends the reading from Numbers. Now hear this word from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, the 1st through the 6th verse. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life.'" The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Heather. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you that you have given us your holy word for us to study and to reflect upon. May your Spirit work within us and amongst us so that we might come to understand and apply these words. Amen. Our Old Testament passage this morning is really one of my favorites, and one that I suspect doesn't get read very often, either in the church or in the home. But let me set the stage for you. The people of Israel have made their escape from slavery in Egypt. They have fled across the Red Sea and watched the armies of Pharaoh get swallowed up. They are now traveling through the wilderness of the Sinai Peninsula, following their leader, Moses, who in turn is following the directions of God. And now they are on the brink of the land that God has promised to them, the land of Canaan. And as they are poised on the edge of this land, they discover that it is already occupied. And so God tells them that they are to send spies into the land to see what is there. And Moses does as he is told, and he selects one man from each of the 12 tribes of Israel to be part of the band of spies that will go into this promised land. And that is exactly what they do, this band of spies. They go into the land of Canaan, the land that God was giving to them, and had a look around. For 40 days, they traipsed over the land to discover what was there. And when they return, they give their report, as Heather read this morning, to the whole congregation of Israel. And here is what they report, that the land is a land flowing with milk and honey, and that the fruit there is larger than any they have seen. In short, it is about as perfect a place as they might ever find. I imagine a cheer went up from the crowd. After all, this is what they had left Egypt for. And this is why they had wandered in the wilderness all this time, to come to a land flowing with milk and honey. But when the cheers died down, the spies continue with the rest of their report. But, they said, but there are people there. And what's more, they are strong people and their towns are fortified. And I imagine that the people, the congregation gathered there, let out a collective groan. And then one of the spies said, and this is my favorite line from the whole story, "We saw the Nephilim, and to ourselves we seemed like grasshoppers to them." Now the spies, the 12 of them, were together in what they saw. All 12 of them agreed with this assessment of the land of Canaan, that it was indeed a land flowing with milk and honey, rich and plentiful, and that it was held by big, strong, well-armed, well-fortified people. And this, it seems, the 12 spies agreed on. But when asked what they should do now, they were no longer in agreement. 10 of the 12 spies had already decided that they had no business trying to move into the land of Canaan. And as nice as it was, the people there were just too strong for this motley band of Israelites. And as they so wonderfully said, "We are only grasshoppers next to them." However, two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, come up with another interpretation of the situation. And Caleb tells the crowd, "Let us go up and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." So there you have it. 12 men, all working with the same information, come up with two different conclusions on what is happening and what ought to be done. Some things never change. And I just remembered, our session has 12 members on it. And guess what? When our session gets together, we often end up with different ideas on what is happening and what to do about it. June is a transition month for our session and for our board of deacons as well. Outgoing elders and deacons are thanked for their wonderful years of service, and incoming elders and deacons are set to take up the reins of servant leadership. This is a calling that many in our congregation have accepted at one time and another, and a call that many others will receive in the future. It is a calling that the three elders, Rob, Vicki, and John, and the three deacons, Ann, Sue, and Glenna, have accepted. And I suspect each one goes into this new role with both a bit of excitement and a bit of trepidation. And I wouldn't be surprised if one or more of them has said to themselves, "What have I gotten myself into?" Over the years, I've given plenty of sermons directed to elders, deacons, and other church leaders. I have oriented new officers. I have led leaders in various studies and projects. I have lifted up the great leaders of the Bible as role models, people like Moses, like David, like Peter and Paul. But as I think about it now, perhaps the role model that I ought to use for our church leaders should be Caleb and Joshua, as we find them in this story. Let me elaborate. First, there was nothing exceptional about Caleb and Joshua, at least when compared to the rest of the spies. As far as we know, they were just good men chosen by Moses to represent their tribe. At this point, Joshua was not the leader that he would later become, and neither was Caleb. And neither held any more power, or any more ability, or any more authority than the rest of the 12 spies, or even, for that matter, the rest of the people of Israel. No, Caleb and Jacob were just normal people. And when you think about it, that is what we look for in our leaders. We do not look for the most exceptional people as our leaders and deacons. We do not limit ourselves to those who have been the most successful in their careers or have the most influence or have some sought-after skill or has been awarded all sorts of awards. We look for normal, everyday people. Now, that's not to say that our elders and deacons are not exceptional, because they are. They are exceptional in the way that Garrison Keillor described the children in his mythical hometown of Lake Wobegon, where he would finish his radio story time with the tagline, "That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average." All of our elders and our deacons are above average. The second thing that Caleb and Joshua can teach us about church leadership is that they work together as a group. The 12 spies went to the land of Canaan together to spy it out, and they came back together. We don't know what tensions and difficulties they faced while they were there, other than to know that the people they were spying on were some pretty scary people. I am sure that there were disagreements at times about where they should go and what they should spy upon and what they should do, but they all came back together because they managed to work things out, whatever things they had to work out. And our elders and deacons do the same. They will need to work together on the session or the board of deacons to figure out where this church needs to go. And there will be differences of opinion from time to time, but as church leaders, Caleb and Joshua show us that we always need to find a way to work together to serve Christ's church. The third aspect of what we can learn from Caleb and Joshua is that they kept their eyes on God. And this is the most important point of this story, is that all 12 spies came back with the same report as to what was in the land and what lay before them. 10 of the spies saw the Nephilim, the giants, blocking their way. But Caleb and Joshua saw the hand of God. They saw that with God, any obstacle can be overcome. And more than anything else, this is what we ask of our church leaders, to help us see beyond the obstacles we presently face. Now, every church and every time has had its challenges, its difficulties, the giants, the giant problems that block their way. And our church has been that way too. And today's obstacles are ones that I dare say we've never faced before, at least in this way. And in many ways, in the face of the problems today, we might indeed feel like mere grasshoppers. And yet the church, every church, is called to journey with God beyond those obstacles to a promised land. If we ask anything of our elders and our deacons, is that they be a Caleb to us, that they be a Joshua for us, that they look beyond the giants in our way and see the hand of God at work. We have some pretty big giants out there. We have giants in the form of a pandemic, a disease that is confusing and uncertain on how to deal with it. We have the economic fallout of that pandemic. We have racial tensions that have come to the forefront because of the shooting or the killing of an unarmed man. And so we have some big obstacles out there. And we see those obstacles, but Caleb and Joshua had their eyes on the promises of God. They saw what was there and how difficult things would be, but Caleb and Joshua saw what was promised by God and how God would surely show them a way through those difficulties. Caleb and Joshua would have found a soulmate in John, whose testimony we read from Revelation. John was given a vision of what was possible with God, and he wrote about what he saw so that the struggling churches of his day might be reminded of what lies ahead of them. He knew that if the churches could see what was possible with God, then all the difficulties that they were facing in the present moment would become insignificant. And that really is the message for all of us, not just our elected leaders, that we need to be great grasshoppers. We need to see ourselves not as something insignificant and powerless against the problems that lay before us, but we need to see ourselves as part of the work of God. If we focus our eyes and our lives on God and God's promises for us, for the church, and for each of us, then we will find that the giants in life will be overcome, even the giants we are facing today. Amen.
By water and the word, from heaven.
we come before God in this time of prayer. And we, as we do, we lift up those within our church community and beyond who are in particular needs of prayer. We do rejoice that Eric Fredrickson and Dave Cameron are home from the hospital and doing well. We continue to hold Bob Smith and his wife Mary, as Bob is now under hospice care. Melody Balzer thanks everyone for the prayers on behalf of her brother and his fiance, both of whom contracted COVID-19, and they're both recovering nicely and working on regaining their strength. We've got news of a former member, Chris Tickner, a former member of this church, who is in need of a kidney transplant, so we'll hold the Tickners in our prayers. We remember the Rankin family on this day, as today is the 7th anniversary of Chad Rankin's death. Mentioned John and Sharon Davis celebrating their 56th anniversary. We also want to congratulate Mark and Ann Gordon, who are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And we want to include in our prayers for our nation, for those protesting the racist structures in our society, for those who are working to keep the peace during these protests, for our leaders as they work to make changes that will improve the conditions for people of all races, particularly peoples of color. We pray for the ones hurt by racism, whether overt or subtly hidden. And we pray for all of us as we seek to work together to build a better society for all. We pray for those who are still suffering from the effects of the pandemic, and continue to pray for the medical personnel and the scientists who are leading the way of helping us out of this mess. With all this, let us pray together. Almighty God, we come to you this morning lifting our voices in praise and our hearts in hope. Today, more than ever, we need the wisdom that only your Spirit can give to us. Help us not to lean solely on our own opinions, thoughts, or dreams, or what our society, culture, or neighbors have to say. We need godly, not earthly, wisdom. Lord, please supply us with in knowledge and in truth as we struggle through these tough decisions and the uncertainty of these times. Lord God, help us to see the path you want us to take, and then to walk confidently on that path by the light of your word. As we travel this path, O God, we travel with companions in faith. Help us support and encourage each other in our journeys of faith. When one of us falls, rally the rest of us to reach out and help bear the burdens of life. When one of us is inspired by your Spirit, O Lord, allow the rest of us to be inspired as well. For those in our company that are hurting, grieving, lost, and forsaken, may your prayers strengthen and guide and comfort them and us. Lord God, we pray for a hurting world. We pray for those suffering from the effects of the pandemic, remembering that people all over the globe are falling victim to both the disease and its economic impact. Lord God, we pray for a hurting nation. We pray as well for the family of George Floyd, who are grieving their personal loss while the nation agonizes over the cause of his death. Help us all, O Lord, to rid ourselves of the scourge of racism and teach us all how to live in the way that you would want us to live. Sovereign God, the world is in need of your love. By our prayers, we seek to send your love around the world, and by your will, may you send us into the world around us to proclaim in word and deed the good news of Jesus Christ. All this we pray, giving thanks for the gift of your Son and praying together in the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, may the peace of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God fall upon you this day and every day. Amen.